Welcome to another edition of Moore Out Radio. Recap of April 18th. Yes, sir. Pretty good day here in Atlanta, Georgia. From what I can tell, really didn't get out of mood too much. Clear skies, though. Pretty, you know, mild weather. A little cooler than usual for this time of year, I should say. Other than that, hey, things are what they are. I pray that all is well with you and yours. Pray that the Lord bless this word today. Pray that it's edifying. We're able to be able to take away what we can from it. Rest of the board, we're going to leave it where it at. We don't really need to do it. Nah, not really. Other than that, I looked over some markets today. CNBC and everything was, you know, out of session Saturday. But I mean, if they was in session, there really wouldn't be too much to talk about. But out of the little things that I was able to gather based off our show lineup day, I was able to pull a little bit from them anyway. So let's go ahead and listen to what they got to say. Welcome, people. I'm glad to have you here. Moore Out Radio.
At least 22 million Americans have filed for unemployment since the pandemic started. Now families across the country are just trying to figure out how to put dinner on the table. Really, thousands of people lined up for hours to get help from a food bank in Texas. ABC's Marcus Moore joins us from San Antonio with their emotional stories. Marcus, good morning.
Oh, Wick, good morning. Their stories are absolutely heartbreaking. And the food bank here in San Antonio says during a regular time, they service about 60,000 families. Well, since this COVID-19 shutdown began, that number has doubled to 120,000 families weekly. And we saw the demand firsthand.
Before sunrise, hundreds had already lined up in front of San Antonio's Alamo Dome, each car representing the economic impact of the vicious pandemic gripping the nation, and the families now facing an uncertain future. Beatrice Ortiz was the first in line.
There's a lot of people hurting out here, you know, a lot of people, even within my family.
Soon, under the morning sun, the enormity of a critical need would be made clear. Cars, bumper to bumper, people desperate to feed their families. Matthew Serna, among the 2,000 people who came to this food distribution site, laid off from his job soon after the shutdown began.
Nobody likes it when your kids ask what's for dinner and you're not sure what to tell them. It's not easy to ask for help, and we try to provide for our own family.
Food banks across the country are seeing huge demand. This moving scene at a grocery store in Maryland, and long lines like this one in New York forming outside of this food bank. Back in San Antonio, people are just as desperate and determined. Ortiz, who was first in line, ended up waiting 18 hours for the food she'll now feed to her family.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Full of gratitude.
Thank you for the San Antonio Food Bank and for all the essential workers doing their jobs. Because without them, where would we all be?
There is some concern this morning about how the food banks across the country will be able to meet the increased demand. And we, of course, have seen those striking images of farmers pouring out milk because of reduced demand with schools across the country closed. And just yesterday, the White House announced a farmers' relief program, which would involve buying produce from struggling farmers and getting those items to the food banks and agencies that feed families in need, Dan.
Yeah, it's a really frustrating disconnect between those farmers and the people who need the food and the food banks. And just so striking to see one woman waiting 18 hours to get food in the United States of America. Marcus Moore, thank you very much.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos, show highlights, and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Make sure they get their disclaimer in every single time. But you know you can go over there and get some bullshit guaranteed. I tell you. Man. You know, big shouts out to everybody that's out there that's offering help in any shape, form, or fashion. Because help, it's not easy to come by. Not just because it's easy or it's not easy to come by or there are people that have it easy and don't just want to give it up easy. But in order to help somebody, just in basic commonalities, it's usually taken away from someone else. So just understanding that, you know, helping, it's not just giving, but helping is giving. You know, just the act itself, fullness thereof. You know, respectfully. But aside from that, you know, things are progressing fast. The time is now. A lot of people still don't realize it. The plagues, man, like they're happening now. How long do you think we can go insulting the creator and expect for the creation to go on? Because we have already showed that we don't care about creation. We've demonstrated that us as one, you know, all of us is one, global citizenship, stay at home. Yeah, we're all in this shit as one. Yeah. You want to know why? You don't have to go and hide behind your roof or have a shield over your head. Because it's fucking place for everybody. It's fucking home. Till you get called to go and see the one that, you know, made the homes of homes. Or should I say the one that made houses home. You know, gave the nigga the ability to build a house. And they say the fallen ones talk to us. Well, if they was falling, they taught you that shit, then who taught it to them? the one that we're going up, right? You know what I'm talking about? See what I'm saying? Putting things into perspective. You know what I'm saying? Connection between one dot to the next. Back to the relationship thing, you know? How does all of this connect with one another? You know, first, the introduction of the coronavirus, you know? And now all of a sudden, it's the food. Been tragic situations of relationships going bad, you know, so far so that it has caused the delay or lives of parties involved. One or two ways, if not multiple ways, which I'm sure it is. And yet, here we are today talking about people in America having to wait hours for food, which is unheard of for America. Because for the rest of the world, it's pretty much a day-to-day commonality. So how many people are really hearing our cry? You see what I'm saying? And the cry is getting louder, louder, and louder. But very few people seem to actually be able to hear the call. Kind of like one of them dog whistles, you know what I'm saying? Gotta be a dog to hear it, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, y'all chief captain, and you know him just being real, like how he like to be real, shit. He figured, shit, I'ma call out my dogs. So, the only ones that can hear the dog whistles are the dogs. You know what I'm talking about? Respectfully. Yet, there are still so many of us that see people that we love that are still operating in their day-to-day not being in the know. You know, but people choose that. So that's where they choose to stand. That's where they choose to stand. But still, wanting to be able to help another man is just part of, you know, human nature, so it is what it is, but it's bigger than us too, people. And if we have it this bad in America, how does the rest of the world have it? Well, damn, that's a real good question. Why don't we examine it for a minute, shall we? More Art Radio.
As the world's battle with the coronavirus rages on, one has to wonder what will happen when the smoke clears. Tens of millions of people are already dependent on the UN's World Food Program for meals. If that were to lose funding, all of those people would be threatened with starvation.
If we lost our funding, a minimum of 30 million would die. Over a three-month period, that would be 300,000 people dying per day. That's why leaders have got to balance out the COVID response with keeping the economy going, because otherwise a lot more people will die from starvation and economic deterioration than from COVID itself.
Even before the pandemic, the world had a serious food crisis on its hands. The World Economic Forum says that over 820 million people were going to bed hungry. Now many organizations are indicating that the situation can get much, much worse.
We fully agree with governments that first has to be health, and the measures that are taken in place have to be supported. But we also believe that second will come food. The food value chain needs to be kept alive to be able to have food available for consumers and to minimize the potential risk over undernourishment and, of course, poverty.
It's a crisis of the international markets. Under the lockdown, the very supply chains of transnational corporations are breaking apart. Food can't be processed, delivered, or received. between countries, within countries, everywhere. For the developing world, that means famine could be just around the corner, especially now that humanitarian relief is also being obstructed by the lockdowns. Widespread poverty, a reliance on imported food, and rising prices are all a recipe for disaster, according to the United Nations. For the millions living in lockdown countries that fit that criteria, food is running out. Across Africa, clashes between hungry people and the police are already taking place. Many governments of the developing world are struggling with a terrible dilemma. See their people die from the coronavirus or see them die from starvation.
While in the developed world, the main dilemma is containing the coronavirus through lockdowns and then dealing with the economic impact, in the developing world, apart from containing the virus and dealing with the economic crisis, the biggest worry now is people dying of hunger.
That doesn't mean the journey from farm to plate isn't obstructed in the developed world. In the United States, dairy farms are dumping thousands of gallons of milk a day because they can't be sold. At the same time, retailers are fearing a shortage of milk, and they're limiting the amount that consumers can buy. As for fruits and vegetables, $5 billion worth have been wasted for the same reason. One of America's largest pork processing plants has even been closed because of the virus.
The closure of this facility, combined with a growing list of other protein plants that have shuttered across our industry, is pushing our country perilously close to the edge in terms of our meat supply. It is impossible to keep our grocery stores stocked if our plants are not running.
The chaos of the free market is rearing its ugly head in more ways than just one. Week by week, millions more are flocking to unemployment lines and food banks. The early indicators of a global food crisis are there before our very eyes. We should ask ourselves, how much farther can the global food supply chain bend before it breaks?
A senior economist at the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization told us the crisis needs a concerted international response.
When people are stay home and workers are stay home, that obviously creates disruptions to value chain for food. You know, food gets harvested, then it has to be processed, then it has to be put on the shelves. Obviously, there may be disruptions in this line because of the lockdowns and because of the fact that people, let's say seasonal workers, cannot probably move around from one place to another. So that is one set of problems. And the other set of problems is that a lot of people, especially poorer people, if they don't go to work, they don't have the earning, don't have the money, they cannot buy the food. We are talking about also countries where malnutrition already is huge. Governments would need to have enough finances, enough safety nets to be able to reach these people and to make sure that they have the minimum food that is really needed. The problem is these countries cannot afford it. So they need help, they need support, and the help has to come from the richer countries. If the richer countries today are very much engaged, of course, for their own people, the message from FAO is do not forget the poorer ones. Because if the problem is not resolved globally, it will come back and haunt everybody again.
My dog had a point there. So much so that it naturally gave him a breath of fresh air, right? Knocked it clean out of him. Shit, knocked it out of me. Knocked it out of the radio program. That was a long damn silence. actually just pondering on that. The rich and the poor, you know, he said that they all shall receive the mark. Said that in order for us to conquer the world health crisis, during this crisis, it's going to depend on the richer countries. Yet, the richer countries are dumping out dairy products because they don't have anyone to sell it to. You know, one again. Yep. I said 1 8 year. Yeah, and I got another one. I mean, time and time. Boy, it's about to be out of time. Of time and time again. You know? Because the Lord said that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. You know? A lot of people still going through that. Well, he didn't just create people to destroy them. Yeah, he did. Well, no. No, he didn't. See, there you go, nigga. You don't need no fuck qualified. You tell me what the fuck thing. See, the Lord create the good and the evil. You know? Did he create human beings to destroy him? Yeah. He made this world for the many. The next world he made for the few. Got there from a homie bit Judah right there. That'll plug in. But tell you. You see. You choose whether or not you want to be destroyed. You know that? It's just like. You choose whether or not. You keep your job. Or you lose your job. But you live. You live to go home and tell your folks you ain't shit. That don't necessarily mean that you ain't shit. You know? Maybe that shit just wasn't for you. See what I'm saying? Some people work jobs, other people create them. You know? Some people start problems, other people solve them. You know? Some people full of shit. Other people like to get rid of it. Just respectfully, man. Birds of a feather flock together, right? You know, but it ain't real till it hit home, right? Most cases it ain't. Well, yeah, we'll stick with most cases. That sounds feasible, you know. Shortage of food, shortage of jobs. Hold up, there was a shortage of jobs before there was shortage of food. But there's people that don't have money because they don't have jobs, so they can't buy food. But yet, there's a shortage of food, and then there's too much food that we're not making profit to sell, so we're destroying it. Just a lot of double talk. You know what I'm saying? Talking in circles. And where are you really going? Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posy. Can we get some action? Nah, fuck that shit. We'll rather sit down. Straight up. You know? See, it's been a famine for a long fucking time. You know why? Because don't nobody want to do what the Creator told us to do. We want to do. And it don't work like that. We can't do what we want to do and expect for him to give freely. No. Because then he himself would not be the Creator. The great I am that I am. See? The Lord knows he made the beginning from the end and from the beginning. Right now it's about to be a new beginning. But it's a scary end to this one, though. A lot of people don't want to let it go. Food. You know? They say you are what you eat. What are you eating? You know? And who are you getting it from? It's a good question, huh? God damn, nigga. Fuck you, we. Then you just hear the people on the news saying nobody got nothing to eat and you want to goddamn ask nigga what they eat? Oh, man. Check this nigga. They eating hella good, though. For the time in which they can. You know? But for the rest of us, you know, this is the harsh reality that we gotta live with. You know? More radio.
I've worked at McDonald's for over 10 years. I'm that face that you see that have served you your hash brown for breakfast, maybe a quarter pounder for lunch, and they even gave you a McFlurry to top off your dinner menu. So I ask you, if I caught the coronavirus, would you want me making your next meal? There are 500,000 McDonald's workers just like me that have to go to work, whether sick or well, because we have no paid sick leave.
I currently make $11.50. I live paycheck to paycheck. The sixth day for me is lost wages. I literally have to be damn near on my deathbed to take a full-blown sick day. The missed check is the difference between me having a roof over me and my family's head versus us being homeless.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order?
McDonald's is one of the largest employers in the world. There are hundreds of thousands of McDonald's workers that touch millions of customers' food each day.
There is nothing so clean as my burger machine.
The CDC found that 20% of food service workers go to work even exhibiting signs of vomiting or diarrhea. And I should know, I'm one of those workers. Last week, I was under the weather. I was sick to the point where I had to leave the grill to go to the restroom, and I wound up vomiting. And I could have been sent home with paid sick leave and not have to worry about coming to work sick because I don't have to worry about how my bills are going to get covered for the days that I missed.
Hello, McFamily.
Last week, McDonald's did roll out a coronavirus plan stating that anybody that's quarantined will be paid.
Protecting the well-being of our people and our customers is our number one priority.
But you guys, don't be fooled. That's only for corporate-owned McDonald's. But 95% of McDonald's are franchise stores, including my store. So that does not benefit us whatsoever.
Today, the Senate has taken up coronavirus legislation.
This week, the government passed a law that enables people that have the coronavirus to get paid time off.
2 weeks of paid sick leave.
The bill does have an exemption for businesses with 500 employees.
Depending on how you look at it, it only covers about 20% of workers.
Republicans made it so that doesn't apply to big businesses, such as McDonald's. And listen closely, that's only with the coronavirus. What about the flu? What about the next outbreak? What then? McDonald's has the power to make it so anybody in a McDonald's uniform that wears the McDonald's logo, like I do, could be provided with paid sick leave, especially during this critical time. Companies can change this. Since this coronavirus pandemic, Olive Garden has given their employees paid sick leave, not just during this time, but for good. So we know that McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Subway, they can all do it as well, but they just have chosen not to.
McDonald's could provide paid sick leave for hundreds of thousands of its workers right now, here today. Well, with that being said, off to work I go. Y'all have a blessed day.
Making sure I get me. Values, right? Appreciate you, Queen, for that message, though. Damn, so do I. Pray that the Lord bless you and yours. not just inside of your household, but the entire business and the workforce in which you work in, and not just your industry, but the industry in all. Yet, those prayers will be answered for the chosen. And for those who chose not to live according to the word of the Most High, don't expect. Don't expect. Time is up. I don't know why people always feel that the Lord is just supposed to wait for them. Oh, it's my time in life. I haven't got my shot to do this. Don't you know? And I'm talking to black people right now. Don't you know that not too far long ago, your grandfathers, your grandmothers, maybe even your great-grandfathers, great-grandmothers were getting their ass whooped to do things that they didn't want to do, and the people before them as well. Because we chose not to follow the commandments of the Most High early on, and that's way down the line of forefathers. And here we are right now at this state in history. And a lot of people want all the benefits of being a child of the Most High, but don't want to do what the Most High asks you to do. You cannot just live freely and think that because you have faith and because you don't know that the Lord will just forgive you, because some things that you don't know because you never set out to go out to learn them. Some things you don't know, people tell you, and you refuse to take it for what it is. You want to live a life in the unknown, in the dark. Satan is the prince of darkness. That's who he is. He's the master of confusion. So for anybody that is confused, you shouldn't have to ask the question. The Lord said he's simple and slow. The reason that he's slow is so we can catch up. The reason that he's simple is so that we can understand what he's trying to tell us. And the reason that he gives us the over it is because he's so great that he said that he'll stand under it. Because if he wasn't under us, we'll fall. You see what I'm saying? You gotta have that rock, man. You got to. Otherwise, you have nothing else to stand on. Food, nourishment. The Lord said that you cannot live by bread alone, neither nor water. But by the words that proceeded out his mouth, not mine, but mine are powerful just like yours are. They are sharper than a two-edged sword. You see, it's amazing how a person can say something, you see, and they can keep saying, and they can keep saying, they wind up doing it. You see what I'm saying? But then a person can say something, and then somebody can put that fire out real quick and say, no, don't say that. You can't do that. But they'll tell you all that, right? And then you never set out to do it, right? Hey. Course of action. That's what it takes. Course of action. The same way that you pick up your food and put it to your mouth. Course of action. You know? As far as this food and these viruses, pray over your food, people. Pray over your food. You should always pray over your food. You should have been praying over your food. It shouldn't be no reason that the coronavirus should be impacting you through your food, because I can assure you one thing, that before they even told you that coronavirus could be anywhere near your food, I guarantee you that they already knew and they let that shit go out anyway. You see what I'm talking about? And if you have already experienced any of that, get what, it probably done came in when you ain't even know it. See what I'm saying? Because of the energy, you didn't have it. It fought it off. Some of you didn't say the prayer. And it still fought it out, because the Lord is just that good. You see what I'm saying? Because he do understand intent. He do understand action. He understand you having. He understand you having not. And for those that do not have, understand that there's so much more to gain. For those that have, those are the people that are looking. They looking for ways to keep what they got. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm going to tell you something. They looking. They looking. See what I'm saying? And respectfully, in those regards. Moving forward with the order, let's check out how the coronavirus has been impacting the industry. You know? But before we start, stumble into that one right there real quick. Food, man. Here's some food for thought. They're throwing away food. Food shortages around the world. There were food shortages around the world before we had this crisis. Yay or nay? Okay, we'll move forward from there. As far as trying to put it out now, yeah. Moving forward. The people that own these companies, food companies, not just food companies, but, you know, I heard this rumor, right, floating around for some time saying that all the presidents are related, right? So you had Daddy Bush, then we had, Herbert Walker was the first one, I think that was the daddy. And then Baby Bush, I don't know, he was just George W, I don't know. Shit, I can't get the initial the right way. Bill was the president. You know, they tell me that he was impeached, but he didn't get impeached. Maybe he did. So whatever he did to keep his benefits, right? I don't know the particulars. But you still see Hillary dancing around on the scene, or at least we have. You know, we got the Trump Towers, the Trump family, and how they all have just made the White House their home, respectfully. You know, we got the Bush, I believe, is the governor of Georgia, not Georgia, but Florida, neighbor of Georgia, if he not, he was. We talking about food here now. They were talking about Tyson Chicken, one of the big food companies. I can't remember the other one that they named. I believe Purdue Chicken is another one. You know, and just all of these people that parade around in politics. And, you know, you should probably take a look at some of their names and the lineages of. And people say, well, no, they not related. And now, you know, but, you know, if it looked like a duck, it walked like a duck. His air flat, right? Yeah, big shots out the seventh stage. Yeah, Ashkarah for that one right there, right? But in the book of Corinthians, it says that if it looked like a duck, walk like a duck, it's a duck. But for some reason, you know, it can look like something, sound like something, but because somebody just never tell us something, we just don't, goddamn it, ain't that one out there, nigga, it ain't that one. Something about black folk. Why? I tell you, I appreciate like this home because now it's the opportunity to correct and align. But if you don't know what to correct, how can you align? You know what I'm talking about? But how they gonna put their spin on? They gonna put it on it the same way they always been putting it on it. But what is that? Goddamn, that's a good question. Let's check it out. More radio.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to wreak havoc across the United States, industries across all sectors are feeling the effects of an economic shutdown.
There's no doubt that the issues around the coronavirus are having a significant impact.
The Dow Index has now lost 3,200 points this week alone. It is now down nearly 10% this year.
One of its biggest victims is Hollywood, the center of America's entertainment industry. The U.S. government's call for social distancing has forced all studios to shut down their TV and film production, as well as postpone all of their theatrical releases. resulting in hundreds of thousands of workers in the industry losing their jobs in the process.
I myself am on hold for a job in May, very big network job, and I keep thinking it's just not going to happen.
We have seen a halt to production in the past due to strikes and other things, but this is quite different. This is a halt in production that no one could have anticipated, no one saw coming. Really, you couldn't plan for it.
This is huge news, considering Hollywood is one of the key players in the American economy. A $101 billion industry that supports 2.5 million jobs and contributes to $181 billion in total wages.
So the industry of creating visual entertainment is an industry that is spread out over a large area, from the caterers, the people that provide food for the workers, and for the large amounts of workers that create the shows, all the way to the streamers and to the industry that is based around exhibiting the product that we create. It's one of America's largest exports.
As one of the world's oldest film industries, Hollywood has had its fair share of experience with recessions, but nothing quite like COVID-19, which poses an essential question. Can the movie industry survive the coronavirus? And if so, what would it look like after? The American market has always held a long-standing belief that movies are a recession-proof industry.
And so if you think about why we would think of Hollywood as being recession-proof, it's because what's happening in a recession is what we think of in economic terms as substitution. People will substitute from more expensive goods to cheaper goods. So in entertainment terms, you can substitute from a live show, which is expensive, to a movie, which is much cheaper.
It's also because of how well Hollywood fared during the Great Depression. Movie attendance remained high at 60 to 80 million attendees per year.
People couldn't afford bread, yet they were going to the movie theaters almost around the clock.
But things have changed since then. During the Great Recession of 2008, the industry took a major hit, despite a relatively stable performance in the box office. Hiring rates in the art, entertainment, and recreation sector dropped by 16%, with nearly 900,000 employees laid off or discharged in 2008 alone. And companies that own major film studios like Disney, Viacom, and Time Warner nearly halved in share prices during its worst drop. But COVID-19 poses an entirely different challenge, as recent measures for social distancing closed down theaters, physically preventing people from going to the movies.
The challenge with COVID-19 is it's unlike any recession we've ever had before. We don't know if people are going to want to return to theaters. We don't know how frequently they're going to want to go, or if they're going to want to go at all.
For the first time in history, studios are looking at near zero box office revenue for the foreseeable future. Domestic box office for the third week of March brought in a mere $5,179, a 100% decrease from the previous week. It's a devastating hit, considering 42% of global theatrical and home mobile entertainment market still depends on theatrical releases.
People are willing to pay more to watch a movie in a theater than on any other platform. And so if these films can't be shown in theaters, that is just going to be economically disastrous for the studios.
And as the National Association of Theater Owners requested relief measures from the government.
And so now what we need Congress to do is to step in and to help industries like ours that are completely shut down.
Shares of theater chains like AMC and Cinemark plummeted over 50%.
Certainly with the rise of streaming, we've seen a decline in theatrical tickets. And so the theater business has been on shaky ground before the virus. And this will only amplify that.
The series of bad news from Hollywood and the unprecedented 6.6 million unemployment claims reported by the Labor Department have sent the entertainment sector spiraling. Media groups that own subsidiaries in movie production and distribution, like Comcast, Sony, and Viacom, have sunk with the rest of the market. The problem worsens once you look outside of the U.S. Theaters around the world are shutting down. And that is bad news for the film industry that heavily benefits from international ticket sales. Studios are now looking at alternative release strategies. On April 10th, Universal's Trolls World Tour became its first film to release digitally and theatrically at the same time.
the determining factor on whether a film would be released on home video rather than in a theater is based a lot on the budget. Because again, if you don't have the theatrical dollars coming in, meaning the movie theater revenue, it'd be really hard to make a lot of those bigger movies profitable.
Most, if not all, of the big budget summer blockbusters, like MGM's No Time to Die and Warner Brothers' Wonder Woman 1984, have been postponed to a later date. Some films like Universal's Fast 9 are even being delayed for an entire year. Whether they'll be profitable is another question.
And that's why these movies have to be theatrically released, because that's the only way, is from those tickets sold in movie theaters, that you can pay back first the production budget, then pay for the marketing budget, and then at that point, eke out a profit.
However, streaming is one part of the media industry that is rapidly growing. Recent Nielsen data shows that an average person spent 36% more minutes streaming during the week of March 16th, as compared to the week of February 24th before the shutdown. Netflix and YouTube are the two most popular choices.
It's going to accelerate the introduction, the adoption of streaming in our homes. And then it'll be interesting to see what the long-term effects are. Do the theaters come back? Or do we all decide that, you know what, sitting in my home, watching this in the safety and comfort of my home is so much easier.
The pandemic is not only devastating to the big studios, but the people who work in the industry as well. Hollywood has long been known for its freelance economy that hires freelancers of various backgrounds and expertise.
We're constantly hustling. We hustle. In order to work in this industry, you hustle. And if you're really lucky, you get on a regular show that runs for a while and then it ends and then that's it. You're back to like on the phone, emailing.
But hundreds of thousands of them have lost their jobs overnight, as productions are postponed or canceled due to the virus.
I had quite a few things lined up to shoot. And all of a sudden, one right after another, the phone started ringing. And I was watching the news, so I knew inevitably that was what was coming. And boy, just like dominoes, one right after another, everything.
Many of these workers live paycheck to paycheck and rely on overtime or secondary jobs to stay afloat. A bigger issue lies in the fact that many of them don't qualify for traditional unemployment benefits due to their employment status and the nature of their job.
The gig economy is a very fragile economy, and I think this virus is exposing that fragility. I think a lot of our problems economically extend beyond before this virus are being revealed now. And part of that is the fact that we have a large amount of people who are self-employed.
The Writers Guild of America strike in 2007 might give a glimpse into how devastating the situation could turn out to be. The strike forced many major productions to shut down over 100 days, costing 37,700 jobs and $2.1 billion in just 3 months.
This whole situation has just caused so much angst and stress for people in the industry, and again, for all industries. And I don't know, we couldn't have seen this coming, but I guess it is somewhat analogous to a writer's strike or something like that. But that's totally different, because that was something planned, and this is something completely unimaginable even 6 months ago.
A few companies have stepped in to provide relief for the industry. The streaming service Netflix announced setting up a $100 million relief fund for its out-of-work production crews and cast members.
Thank God our union is also continuing. They fought to continue our health care for the next 6 to 9 months, so that normally we have to qualify with a certain amount of hours, but they're waiving that right now. So that's, no one will get kicked off the medical, which is great.
But most hope lies on the unprecedented $2 billion stimulus bill signed into law on March 27th. Although the stimulus package does not directly address Hollywood, as it did with medical and airline industries, it provides some measures for studios and freelancers to stay afloat. The new bill allows for more freelancers and part-time workers to be eligible to apply for unemployment benefits, with an additional $600 per week for 4 months, compared to other beneficiaries. Bigger studios can take advantage of the $500 billion lending program, while smaller businesses with less than 500 employees can rely on a $350 billion lending program, as long as they do not lay off its workers. As to how much it will help the industry is somewhat of a mixed bag.
Nobody thinks that this $1,200 is going to solve the biggest problems of the cash flow being stopped from our employers, especially if we're talking about an extended period of time.
Anytime you are injecting $2 trillion into the economy, that is far better than not injecting $2 trillion into the economy. So the stimulus bill will have a positive impact on the entertainment business. It might just happen in the long run, but maybe not in the short run.
I think it's great for right now, but how long is that $1,200 supposed to last? Not in LA. That doesn't last very long at all.
But no matter how bleak and uncertain the future might be, one thing's for certain. People will always want some sort of entertainment.
Entertainment, for so many of us, is the thing that keeps us going and gives us that escape from these troubles that are happening right now in our world.
Speaking out the topic of Hollywood, I need to get me some more sign. You see, I'm trying to build out these radio shows, you know? Can't build a house in a day. Some niggas out there, they gonna try though. I wouldn't wanna live in that one, dog. I'm gonna come crashing down. You know, not to say that you can build a house, shit. You can build a house for 100 years, that bitch gonna crash down, you hear me? I just like to know that I know, man. I like to take a little time, put my spirit into it, you know, and that's what it means when you put your thought into something, when you invest your money into something, you know, you put your deed into something. It takes on a whole new shape of life, you know, something that a lot of people don't know. But as far as entertainment, be cautious of what you entertain yourself with, you know? You enter it. Don't let it enter you. You know what I'm saying? Fall as the shape. Mold. Conform. It's the greatest form of yourself, you know. You are what you eat, you are what you think, and you will become whatever you do. You know? I think that about it. That shit that line up about right now. Seems like the only way to live out is on a positive tilt, man. Without the Most High, we wouldn't have the day, the moment, or the hour. So we gotta say that with Him we are, and without Him we ain't there. Cause we wouldn't even have that day, would we not? You know? Starting off this word, we got our news clip from ABC. Second news clip that we ran through. That was from Russian TV, RT. The one about McDonald's, that was from the New York Times. And the last one that we got, as far as Hollywood surviving the coronavirus, got that one from CNBC, you know? So once more, we made it through another one. Sorry about the interruptions. Sorry about repeating songs. Trying to build it and get it a lot better. Decided that I go in on this one today. It's about food. So I figured, hey, it's about food. Lie to be food for thought. You ain't really got to go too deep on that when I think the people grasp it. But once more, thank the Lord for the day, the moment, and the hour. For what I don't wear now, but what I'm wear all. By well, yeah, how wish I love you, fam. Until next time. See you tomorrow, right? Back up a little bit, all right? Tomorrow, we're going to look into Hollywood and the technology, you feel me? I feel they pretty much go hand in hand from here on out, right? So, yeah, by well, yeah, how wish I. Let's sound that horn, baby. Hebrew, righteous, Moat Radio, we out.